Last week, Friday, Mr. Bosun was teaching us about the wonders of praise. And he was, you know, he spoke us about using praise as a weapon of warfare. And he taught us of all the benefits that come with having, with you, carrying the presence of God with you everywhere you go. And on Sunday, Pastor was teaching us about how it is impossible to praise God without having a heart of gratitude. So basically, a heart of gratitude is a source of motivation to praise the Lord. But tonight, I want to talk to you very briefly about the joy perspective to praise. The joy perspective to praise. Because you see, praising God is something that should come naturally to a believer. Because I believe God created us to praise Him and to give glory to His name. Because we are created in the glory of, we have the glory of God, we are created in His image. We carry, and that's why even men, we do enjoy praise. When we are praised, our heads get lifted up. You know, I come from a very interesting country. And I still remember this particular, it's a long time ago now, I wasn't a believer at the time, so don't think your pastor has gone spraying money. I went to a party with a couple of friends and we're there, and then this musician was on stage, and I saw somebody was coming around and he would be asking, what's your name, what do you do, and all those things, and he went around the tables. And before I knew it, this musician was on stage, and he was calling names, and the way he was singing about these names, you would think he knew he was there when they were doing their naming ceremony. He would praise and praise and praise and praise, but what happened ultimately was, I had this friend, you know, he went on stage, sprayed some money, and then when he had sprayed the money, he came back to sit down. Then the man went up another notch, and the guy went back, sprayed, the guy sat down again, and the man went up another notch. This time he went into his car and brought some more money and sprayed. So when we were done and we're going home, and he said, Femi, what have I just done? I said, you've just been creamed. That's what it is. So you see, praise can get you creamed if you are not a disciplined person. Basically, the point I'm trying to make is that if a mortal man can be that excited and elated because of somebody singing his praise, how much more our God? How much more our God? We are created to praise God. So tonight, you see, when things are going well, it's very easy to praise God. You know, you've just landed a heavy, big contract. Oh, you will dance and you will sing all day long. Or you've just come out of the hospital and you are strong. You dance all day long. So when good things are happening, it is very, very easy to praise God. When you are facing challenges and you have understanding, you know you can praise your way through. But whatever you think, you are still being motivated by something. You are being motivated either by your challenges or you are just being encouraged and you are showing a heart of gratitude by the victory and by the benefits that you have enjoyed, you know, from God, you know, coming through for you and giving you breakthrough. All of that is good. But what happens when things are not going well? I remember the story of the children of Israel in Psalm 137. That was just David, you know, putting their experience in a few words. And they were in Babylon, and they were sitting down. And they said, give us a song. We know you guys know how to praise. But give us a song, you know, one of your songs from the church. And they said, how can we sing the song of God in a strange land? In other words, what they were saying is that, under the circumstances, how can we sing? Have you ever been in a place where you're asking yourself questions that, under the circumstances, what reason have I got to praise the Lord? What reason have, why should I be praising the Lord when I have my bills piling up? Why should I be praising the Lord when I have all the red letters littered all over my kitchen and dining table? Why should I be praising the Lord when I have this health challenge? Why should I be praising the Lord when I have been praying and waiting and fasting for this one thing? And this one thing will not shift. Would you able to carry on with your praise? You see, one of the things I enjoy about our Bible Connect group is the different perspective that comes on board when we're doing the Bible discussions. And we learn, and we learn, and we learn. So what I want to teach on today, basically, is that we should, as spiritual beings, we should get into a place where we have the joy perspective to pray. So regardless of whatever we are going through, the joy of the Lord should be enough to motivate us to give Him praise. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 33, verse 1. Psalm 33, verse 1. Psalm 33, verse 1. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. Rejoice, be joyful, be glad. Have joy in the Lord, O you righteous. For praise from the upright is beautiful." I try to read the very contemporary versions of Bible these days, but this particular scripture, I think I like it in the King James Version. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous." He said, praise is comely for the upright. Praise is comely. Praise is something that is attractive. Praise is something that is desirable, you know, for the righteous. So praise is something that a righteous man does. And mind you, the word righteous. The Bible didn't make any mistake here. It said, it is rejoice, O ye righteous. For praise is comely for the upright. So, this is for the upright. And I want to believe today that every single one of us sitting here, that we are standing in righteousness with God. And that's not a difficult thing to do. Because you can look at yourself and say, oh, you know, considering my life and my lifestyle, am I really standing in God? But your righteousness is not by works. Your righteousness is through your relationship in Christ Jesus unto God. Amen? So, if you are here today and you are not born again, at the end of the service, I pray that the Lord will touch you and that you will make that one right. Because it's very important. That is the foundation of everything we do. Without our connection to Christ, you can be members of Gateway Chapel. If I let me tell you, when we were in the uni, I had a number of people on the campus. And we went to lectures together. Normally, we do everything together. We sleep in a room, you know, because they always find a place to squat on the campus. But they were not students. For 3 years, somebody staying on the campus, not a student. You know, in those lecture rooms, the lecturers, they don't ask you whether you are, nobody asks for your identity card. You just come into, it's an open lecture room. You come in, you sit down, you learn, and you go. All right? So, they don't really care. Do they really care? No, they don't. But people will come in and stay for 3 years, and at the end of the 3 years, we just realize that these guys, they were not actually students. They were just enjoying campus life. That's very true. You'll be amazed. But the point I'm trying to make tonight is that you can be a member of Gateway Chapel and not be in Christ. That will not be your lot in Jesus' name. We all have to be in Christ. Because you know what? The only one thing that brings you and I together is the Spirit of the Lord. It is the blood of Jesus that provides the platform for our brotherhood and for us being brethren. So please, please, if you are not born again, let's make that right so that we can all flow at the same level. Okay, that's not where I'm going. So rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Why do we praise God? You see, we praise God for two reasons, either for his works or for who he is, that is his worth. You praise God for his works or for who he is, that is his worth. Whatever God represents to you, who he is. You see, when we praise God for his works, we're either praising him for the things that he has done. You see, you sit down and you remember the many blessings that God has blessed you with, and you are just grateful, and you rejoice, and you are glad, and you give praise. That's coming from the depths of a heart of gratitude. You can also praise God in anticipation of that which he's going to do, because you know that he's able, that he will do it. He has promised and he will do it. And you know that you can praise your way through. Why? Because you have read in the Bible that praise can bring deliverance. We were taught by Mr. Boston that when you have the presence of God, you can have deliverance, you can have victory, go through your nose, you see all of them. There are all the many benefits that comes with carrying God with you. And one thing that is guaranteed is that when you carry God with you, when you praise, you carry God with you everywhere you go. So we can be, our motivation, our reason for praising could be because of what we are expecting. And we just go into that praise mode. And I have been a beneficiary of that in the past. You know, praising my way through to victory. My daughter has been a beneficiary of that. So that definitely works. Again, you can be praising God because you are facing a particular challenge. In this instance, you want to use praise as a jailbreaker. And that is biblical. Because we saw it in Acts chapter 16, when Paul and Silas praised God all night. And not only were they free, but all the prisoners that were with them were also, let loose. And so many people became, they became converted on account of their deliverance. So there, this is powerful. Praise is a tool that God has given to us to do exploits. And we saw that with the army of the children of Israel when they were being led by Jehoshaphat. All these things are powerful, and they motivate us, and they're the reasons we praise God for his works. But another reason to praise God is for who he is, just because he's God. And now that is down to you as a person. Who is God to you? Who is God to you? Because you see, when you begin, and in John chapter 4, the woman of Samaria came to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ said to her, he said, "Look, woman, you don't know whom you are worshiping." And the question I'm asking to you tonight is that, do you really know God? Who is God to you? You see, we can praise God for all the reasons that I've explained. But have you ever really thought of just sitting down and thinking about God as being the creator of the universe? The maker of everything beautiful, everything that you can see. We were on holiday and I saw some creature when we went, to a sea world. And I've never, not even on television, I've never seen those things in my life. And I just stood there and all I could think of is God. How did you think about, not even how did you create it, how did you think about all these creatures? It's amazing. Just think about all the wonderful things, that God has done. Have you ever thought of him as your provider? Or do you just seek him to provide for you? You know, there are two different things. Because it's all about perspective. Mind you, what we're talking about tonight is the joy perspective to praise. The joy perspective to praise. When you think about God as a provider, you're not thinking about yourself. You are thinking about him. When you think about him as your comforter, you're not thinking about yourself. You are thinking about him. When you think about him as your healer, you're not thinking about yourself, even though you can feel the pain, you can feel the discomfort, but now what you are thinking about, you're thinking about God as being the healer. And that's why, God said to, in Exodus chapter 6, he said to Moses, he said, "I revealed myself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty." He said, "But by my name, the Lord, they did not know me." What that means is that there is a depth to which you can know God for every one of us. You can know God just as your Jehovah Jireh, that is your provider. You can know him as your Jehovah Rapha, that is the Lord your healer. And that's why we have the many names of God. And maybe we should make it an assignment and we just go and learn about the many names of Jehovah and what they mean. But whatever you do, the point I'm trying to make tonight is that knowing God is very, very important. And not just knowing God of the God that, you know, that we teach about him in church, but it's knowing God personally. I'm going to get into how you do this in a minute, but I'm just trying to lay a foundation that we understand that, you see, there is a motivation that comes from just knowing. You know, when I was young, you see, when it comes to things that has to do with your education, my father would go to any length to make sure that you have it. So when I was young, if I really want something, I will have to find a way to come up with an idea that has something to do with my education. So at that time, I might be wondering, oh, how do I get this thing? But the moment I remember that, if this thing can just be presented to my dad as having to do with my education, the money is in the pocket. There is this joy that comes, you know, with that kind of feeling. That is what I'm talking about. You see, it's knowing that, number one, I have a God who cares. Number two, I have a God who can. And three, I know I have a God who will. You see, when you have this perception about God, praise will become something that comes naturally to you. So that when you are going through, I mean, Pastor says it all the time, says issues are issues and life is life. Issues you deal with and they come in chains. But life is life. We deal with life. But you need to have a good perspective to life to be able to deal with the issues of life. So when you have a good understanding of who God is, it is very easy for you to find the joy within that will give you the motivation to praise, even in the face of challenges, in the face of the most difficult circumstances of life. I'm going to be looking at a few case studies here. Let's look at Exodus chapter 15. Exodus 15, and I will read from verses 1 to 3. This is the children of Israel when the Lord has just buried the entire army of the children of Egypt in the Red Sea. The Lord parted the Red Sea for the children of Israel to cross through, and they walked through on dry ground. And then they were being pursued by the army of Pharaoh. And in the same Red Sea through which they parted, the Lord buried the entire army of Pharaoh with their horses and everything. And see what happens. In chapter 15, verse 1, it says, then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The house and the horses and his rider he has thrown into the sea. I think I need my glasses now, but don't worry. I'll read this. The Lord is my strength. No, this is, I said Exodus 15:1. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its riders he has thrown into the sea. And the next verse. Don't worry. Thank you. Amen. I was trying to be as young as I can be. In. Try not to play the ayo, but here I am. Okay. The next verse says, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drawn in the Red Sea. You see, these people have just seen a miracle. These were people that have been oppressed for many years. Now they were delivered and they were being pursued to be taken back into captivity. But then they saw the Lord did some wonders. The entire Red Sea parted way for them. What happened? They broke out into singing, dancing. You see, when we read this thing, it may look like, I don't know how many days it took them to rejoice over this thing. Because if I see that kind of a thing, I would dance all my life. To see a Red Sea, I mean, how many of us have ever read about the Red Sea? You know, it might not be the way it is today at that time, but for God to even part even a stream for me to cross, Amen. I will dance all my life. But this was a sea parted for the children of Israel, and they walked through on dry ground. So they sang, they danced, and you would think forever, it doesn't matter what comes their way, these people, they will dance all their lives. But that was not the case, because a few chapters forward, if you go to chapter 17, they came to Mara, and there was no water, ordinary water to drink. The same God that parted the Red Sea for them, they did not even think was able to provide them water. And what happened? They began to complain, they began to murmur, they began to speak against the man that God has appointed to lead them through the journey into the promised land. Last week, Pastor taught us, and one of the things he said is that we should stop complaining and murmuring for us to be able to maintain a heart of gratitude. What it means is that the children of Israel were not able to maintain a heart of gratitude. In other words, they were motivated by the things that they were able to get from God. That should not be the case. The fact that they had a God that was able to do that should be enough comfort for them. But herein comes the question of trust, and we'll get there in a minute. So that was one thing that you have to understand, that the things that are written in the Bible, they are written for our examples so that we can learn from it. Every single story, no matter how, because you know, sometimes the Bible will mention a name and then I will sit down. I don't know whether everybody, you know, do this, but I will just sit down, in all of this Bible, why this guy? And I will start the why question until I'm able to learn something from why that story. Because every single story in the Bible is written for our examples. Amen? So God has put this there so that we may know that. Because, you know, he took them all through all this so that they can know what is in their heart. What is in your heart is, you know, because whatever is in your heart will determine how motivated you are when it comes to praising God. That is one case study. Then we all know the story in 2 Chronicles 20 from 19, or in fact the entire chapter, how the army of the Moabite and all the Bite, how they came together to form a strong army against the children of Israel. And they went into praise. And what happened? Not only did they kill, did they kill each other, they started destroying themselves. Mr. Boston spoke. I think that's very prophetic, by the way. Mr. Boston spoke about that one last week, Friday. And we knew what happened. And under the circumstances, they were facing a challenge, because they look at the armies and they said, look, these people are too strong. What are we going to do? What can we do now? And the only one thing they knew to do was to get into praise. And they praised God. They appointed priests to lead the people to praise the Lord. And as they were praising the name of the God of Israel, the Lord came through for them. Now, that is what we do when we face challenges. But let's look at Nehemiah 9 from verse 1. In Nehemiah 9, these were people that were rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem that was broken down. And while they were doing that, there was so much opposition. But they chose to ignore the opposition. And then at some stage, Nehemiah took the entire camp and put them under and put them outside and began to read the word of the Lord unto them. So in chapter 8, Nehemiah was basically encouraging the people in the word of the Lord. He was reading. For many days, he was reading the word of God to them. And then it got to a stage, people began to get real conviction about the God that they were serving. And what happened here? In chapter 9, verse 1, it says, now on the 24th day of the month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting in sackcloth and with dust on their heads. Verse 2. And with dust on their heads. The next verse. Then those of Israelites lineage separated themselves from all the foreigners, and they stood and confessed their sins. They were convicted, they were confessing their sins and the iniquities of their father. The next verse. Okay, and they stood in their place and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for the for one fourth of the day, and for another fourth, they confess and worship their God. They confess and worship their the next verse. Then Jeshua, Bani, Kamdel, Shebaniah, Buni, Shebariah, Bani, and Shenai stood on the stairs of the Levite and cried out with a loud voice to the Lord their God. The next verse. The Levites, I'll forget the name, but let's just go about forever and ever, blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessings and praise. These were a people who were praising God after they have been exposed, you know, to the word of God. They were praising God out of the depth of understanding. They were praising God. Why? Because they knew that they had a God that was extraordinary. They had a God who was more than able to take them through whatever challenges. At this time, they have almost, you know, they were almost through with the war, despite all their position, but or halfway through with rebuilding the war. But they were singing, not because of anything, but they were motivated by the revelation that they had of God. So the revelation that they had of God was more than enough for them, you know, to get out and get together and sing praises to the Lord. Now the question is, how do we develop a joy perspective to praise? How do we develop a joy perspective to praise? Number one is, one, we need to be divinely connected. And I said that before. You see, in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, the Bible says that for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You have to ask yourself the question, am I a son of God? It is very important that we are all sons. So I'm not going to be going into too much today. But the second thing is that we have to be conscious of who we are. Let's read 1 Peter 2, 9. We have to be conscious of who we are. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Have you ever seen God as your savior, as your redeemer? What does that mean to you? You see, if we continue to put this thing in perspective of mundane things and the things of the world, then it carries no weight. But when you put it in the context of eternity, then you will understand that you being out of darkness and being in light is a big deal. Because billions of people are walking in darkness, not because they chose to, but more so because they have been blinded, as the Bible tells us, by the prince of this world, the cares of this world, the riches of the world has blinded many. And so they are never not able to come to Christ. See, the Bible is a complete book. Very complete. Because we can look at it and say, oh, we are in Christ and it's something that we are taking for granted. It is not an easy thing to be in Christ. If it is that easy, the whole world will be. It's not an easy thing. So it's a privilege. So the Bible said that you are a chosen generation. But not only are you chosen, you have been chosen for his praise. So we are chosen to basically what I'm saying to you is that it is a spiritual responsibility for every single one of us to praise the Lord. And it's a responsibility that we should take seriously. In good time, in perfect times, when things are going up and when they are going down, we keep looking up and we keep praising. Because that is who we are. We are a special people. We are a people that deal with the issues and challenges of life in a different way. Where many will take their lives, we keep thinking and we keep going and we keep standing strong. Why? Because we are a special people. Because there are issues we deal with as believers that the world cannot even take a tenth of. They cannot. So we are special people. And God has said that he has created you for his praise. It is very, if you don't know who you are, it will be very difficult for you to praise the Lord, you know, to have the joy of the Lord. Why? Because you don't really know who you are in Christ. But Christ has given you everything by giving you his life. Because he laid down his life for you and I. And there, There is no greater sacrifice any man can make for his friend. Jesus Christ laid his life. What more can he give you? Or what can you ever ask for that he cannot give you? If he will give you his life, he will give you everything. And we need to have this understanding for us to be able to have the joy perspective to, you know, to praise. And the next thing I want to talk about is that, number one, we have to have divine connection. The second thing is that we have to be conscious of who we are in the Lord. But the third thing is the most important thing, and is that let your communion with God be of the utmost priority. And you see, when I talk about communion, because when you say communion, the one thing that will come to your mind is you talk about the ordinances that we perform by eating bread and taking the wine, and that is fine. But you see, when we do that, we are doing that as Jesus Christ instructed us in remembrance. When we say remembrance, what does it really mean? What are you thinking about when you are holding that bread in your hands? What's going through your mind when you have the cup in your hand? Are you thinking about, oh, this thing is going to purge me, it's going to make me clean, or what is going on in your mind? Or are you thinking about the sacrifice, all the beatings that he took on your behalf, all the shame, you know, that he bore on your behalf? Or what exactly were you thinking? That should be our mindset when we see to partake of that Lord's table. We should be thinking about the sacrifice that the Lord made on the cross for us. He says, do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me. We remember the chains, the pains, the shame, and everything that he went through for us. If you read Isaiah 53, you will see all of it there. What he went for us, he was bruised, he was battered, just for your sake. We think about those should be the things that we think about. But that's not even what I'm looking at today, because I'm not looking at communion as the ordinance that we do. I want to read this definition that I found on the internet, which is really very interesting. And he defined communion this way. He says, so that I can read it properly for you. He says, communion is the sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings, especially on a mental or spiritual level. I'll read it again. The sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings, especially on a mental or spiritual level. This is talking about intimacy and relationship. And not just ordinary level of intimacy, but you know, a level of intimacy where you carry God in your thought every single day. When you are thinking about your work, you are thinking about the part that God has played in. When you're thinking about your family, you are thinking about how God has carried you throughout this year. When you are thinking, you see God in everything. The question I want to ask you tonight is that, what are your thoughts? What are the things you think about? How often do you think about God? How often do you think about the words of God? And we may not know what is going on in your mind, but you know, what you think about will determine how you talk. And so when you talk, we're going to have a glimpse of exactly what's going on. Whether it's a God, whether it's somebody that thinks godly things, or you're somebody who thinks about worldly things. Let your thoughts always, always be about God in every single areas of your life. Because he said to Moses, he said, they did not know me as the Lord. What does it mean to be the Lord? It means the one in charge of your life, your destiny, your family, your career, your business, everything you do. He is Lord. That is what it means. And that is the perspective we need to maintain about him. When we know him as the Lord, that is the one, the captain of the ship of our life, then we understand that it does not matter what the storm of life is throwing at us, we can go through. Why? Because the Lord, the captain, is the one in charge. And when the sea was raging, he spoke to the sea. He said, calm and be still. And what happened? It was calm. And so he can do that in your life. It doesn't matter what we're going through. When we have this understanding, when we have this perspective, that the Lord is the captain of our life, then it is very easy for us to maintain the joy of the Lord. Because ultimately, The joy of the Lord is our strength. When we have that understanding, praise will become spontaneous. It will become like a lifestyle, like, you know, it was discussed in our Bible Connect group on Wednesday. It will just be something. It is something that you completely ignore what you are going through, and it just becomes something that happens to you spontaneously. Why? Because you have this depth of understanding. Why? Because you have this level of intimacy. You know your God. You are not somebody, you are not somebody who does not understand that he has a God who is the Lord of his life. Because, see, when we say Lord, Lord, a lot of times we just think, oh, it's about control. No, that's not what it is. He's the Lord of your life means that he is in charge of everything that has to do with your everyday living. As you step out, the Lord was in charge of my life yesterday. He was in charge of my driving. In fact, let me tell you, at the same time that thing was about to happen, my wife was praying, and she told me this morning that, you know, the Lord just laid it in her heart to pray for me in driving. That couldn't be a coincidence. It's just telling you that the Lord is in charge of everything that we do. When we have this understanding, our motivation will be different, because we now have a joy of the joy perspective to praise. Then we realize that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and then praise will become something that we rise up and we sing. You know, the children of Israel, after they in the building of the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem. So when we do these things, that's it. You see, what happens when you get into deep communion with God is, one, it helps you to know yourself and what you need to change. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, as we behold in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image, the image of righteousness, the image of peace and purity, by the Spirit of the Lord. We are first and foremost spirit beings. We have to understand that. Because a lot of times we define ourselves by the things we have and, you know, by the things we do. But that's not who you are. You are a spirit being. That is what gives you the personality that you have. So the Bible is saying, as we behold the Lord in his word, that we are being transformed. There is a transformation required to become who we need to be. So when we get into the place of constant communion with God, the first thing we do is that we begin to know who we are and the things that need to change, the relationships that need to go, the words that we need to ensure that, you know, they don't come out of our mouth, the friendship that we need to keep, the places that we need to go, the association that we need to maintain. All of these things we begin to put in perspective. So we are changed as we get into communion with him. The second thing, of course, is that you begin to know God. You begin to know God. You know his power. You know his love. You know that he's a God who exalts his mercy above judgment, so that when you go into sin, you don't live in condemnation. Because that's another thing, you know, another message entirely. People living in condemnation, you are dampened. Your spirit is dampened. You can't even rise up to say a word, not to talk about praising. You can't live in condemnation, because the Lord your God has exalted his mercy above his judgment. There is a provision in Christ for you to reconcile yourself back to God, regardless of what you have done. And I'm not saying live in sin, but when you do sin, the Holy Spirit will convict you, make it right with God, and get on with your spiritual responsibility. Amen? The third thing it will do is that it will build trust. It will build trust. You see, Job said, he said, even though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Even though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Are you able to trust? You see, when we're talking about trust, it's not trusting that, oh, God will do this the way I want it. It is trusting that even though God does not do this, I know he has a good intention. Why? Because his thought towards you are thoughts of good and not of evil. And he said that all things work together for your good. Not some things, not a few things, all things. The things that he has done and the ones that he hasn't done, they are all for your good. So when we trust God, you know, Jesus was praying, he said, Father, If it pleases you, please take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I want, not what I feel, not how I feel, but let your will be done. A lot of times we pray, and when it is not done, we believe, you know, God is not faithful. God is faithful. Because no can be a very good answer sometimes, even to our needs. And trust is the only thing that can give you that understanding and that perspective. And these are the things you develop when you're in the place of communion. So communion with God should be your utmost priority. Why? Because as you do this, the Lord will begin to expose and reveal himself to you. When you have a revelation of the Lord, your attitude to life will change. Your attitude to spiritual things will completely change. Why? Because you know that the Lord, your master, is the one who is in charge of your destiny. Regardless of what you are going through, regardless of how you feel, you know that he's in control. And when he is in control, you know that his thoughts towards you are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future, to bring you into an expected end. The end is good. The end is good. And the Lord is faithful. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen.